Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Roger, it's Brian. Look, I know this sounds a little far-fetched, but I want you to meet me every night between October the 21st to December the 18th at 7:30 p.m. at a place called the Menier Chocolate Factory in London Bridge. Sundays at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. People are going to watch us, a bit like a zoo or whatever, and I'll give you a cut. If you do want to find out more, look at the internet, menierchocolatefactory.com. Speak soon. Bye.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Okay. Hello!
Morning, evening, afternoon.
Welcome to The Curse of Strictly. She's Julia Rayside.
He's better at this than I am, Mark Haynes.
And let's welcome the judges.
I genuinely thought you had a guest lined up and got a bit excited, Mark.
Well, Bruno Toglioli appeared on the One Show a couple of nights ago. He's obviously doing the American version, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked and felt like the definition of yesterday's man.
He's like desperately trying not to be forgotten, isn't he? But I think it just feels like, in a way, and this seems remarkable to say, it feels like he was never there.
It really does. It really does.
I'm happy with the current lineup.
The BBC took the decision to go in very hard on him in the opening question on the One Show, where Alex Jones just said to him, so, you know, you'll fall off your chair an awful lot. She said, the first time, maybe it was real. She said, but the ones all after that, you're just faking it. They basically, the opening question was, you are a liar and a fraud.
All right, Paxman, shut up. Jesus. Confess.
He had to do quite a sort of eggy bit where he was going, oh, well, you know, like all the chairs, chairs can be wobbly when you are gesticulating. And it was all a bit tawdry. But he is going to be back to do the live Strictly tour. Feel disappointed because I don't think you've ever been to one, have you?
Oh, what, a live Strictly tour? I did go. I went years ago. I can't even remember who was dancing there, but I did. I went to the O2.
Yeah, I think my wife went to like the first one that they had on, where it was like Jill Halfpenny.
It
was a long time ago, but I'd sort of forgotten that they still run. And I'm slightly fascinated in them as a part of popular culture that you never hear about.
I know, it's weird. Unless you go to those vast arenas, it's just something that's happening out of sight. I don't think you really need to go, is the thing. I just think, because obviously having been to the actual Strictly Studio, Mark, I don't know if I've ever mentioned that to you before. It's teeny tiny, really, in comparison to... well, anything you could imagine. It's so small, and they have to make those dances quite small and self-contained. Suddenly, when you give them like a football pitch, it's all a bit much to cover the floor with just two people dancing. So it's not, I mean, it's great and everything, but it's not really that satisfying. I'd rather just watch the show.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, look, it's fine not to be a true fan.
Easy. I give up my weekends from now to Christmas for what? For this?
Exactly.
I feel like Bruno Toglioli on the One Show.
I hope you've got more buttons on your shirt done up.
Nope.
Well, look, how did you find this week as a sort of like overall view?
Actually, I really, really loved this week. I was expecting a very kind of mid-season of a show, which obviously, because I'm, as aforementioned, the kind of greedy, truffling dance pig who just is tired of all this now, despite this splendid entertainment being put on for me every week. But no, this week, I was on the edge of my seat for a lot of it. I thought when that, you know, the dancers were brought out, the celebs and their dance partners this week, for the first time, I thought, there really isn't anyone shit left, is there?
No.
It was quite striking to see that now it's all just good dancers.
I think there is a funny part for me in this, which is there is a really, it's a mix, the dancers, of the very, very good and the not bad. And the problem is there's a big gulf between the group of very, very good and the not bad. And I feel like we've got to just get rid of all of the not bad. And there's about five of them that have to go before we really have the competition kicking in.
No, I know what you mean. But there's also another subdivision between the people who are really good at dancing and the audience loves. And the people who are really, as we saw this week when we talk about the dance off in a minute, the people who are really, really good at dancing and have had no real connection with the audience.
No.
Their personalities aren't selling it. And the popularity contest bit of the vote isn't working for them. So they tend to hang around because the judges score them so high, but they don't tend to do well in dance-offs. Well, they seem to end up in dance-offs at this stage when everyone is fantastic.
Yeah, and you can certainly see that thing which happens every year, which is you do get penalised by the audience at home for being young.
Yeah.
That they do sort of go, well, you're bendy and you're lithe and you've got a lot of energy. But of course you have.
Everything
you're young.
I am not. I hate you. I resent you.
That's it. I mean, the only person I really feel, you know, emotionally connected with is John Sargent.
Anne Widdicombe.
another absence this week, which was Judy Love, who had tested positive for COVID.
Yes, which I think, I mean, without wishing to be slanderous to Judy, judging by her, you know, record in the dance off so far, which I think did make for this very different looking dance off this week. I genuinely think no matter what she does, she seems to end up there, which surprises me.
Yeah.
But I think a week off for her was probably just a nice week off the dance off.
It's a rare case of COVID giving you extra life expectancy, isn't it? Because I do feel, based on the last couple of weeks and, you know, probably the standard of what's going on, Judy Love probably would have been in the bottom two.
I think it's likely, and much like Hugo coming back from his back injury last week, if all being well she returns for Halloween week, she's coming back to a field of unbelievably good dancers and her, and I think she's going to find herself in the same position as Hugo, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's astonishing as well, just on a sort of broader level, that this year's Strictly Come Dancing has been much more affected by COVID than last year's.
Hasn't it? Yeah.
It tells you sort of everything you need to know about how Britain as a whole is dealing with this pandemic.
Really well.
Yeah. The fact that a year later...
Everything's fine and it's over.
I mean, last year, maybe there were a couple of, you know, positive tests and, you know, people had to drop
it
out.
But I think Katya and Nicola, wasn't it?
And they booted them right out. Now this year, you're like, oh, yeah, everyone gets it. You know, it's continuous. You have a week off, you come back.
It's mad, isn't it?
Not even sure that's long enough a week, is it?
I don't know if it is. I think 10 days from a positive test, isn't it? Oh, I said, we should know the rules by now, but we don't. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, and he was like, oh, I get tested, but it's just so expensive. And I was like, you don't even know they're free? We all have different information. It's no fault of us. I think we're just not. There's no clear messaging mark. It's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I go and see a guy who tests me for COVID very thoroughly via the contents of my underpants.
to quote friends, yes, that's how they test for COVID in prison.
Yeah. Look, it's expensive, but it's worth it. I've actually continuously had COVID for the last year and a half. So he's also given me some very expensive oral treatment.
I'm glad to hear you're receiving the best of care, Mark. Yes. It's no more than you deserve.
I know. He's a very kind former criminal now working as a doctor. Shall we get into the show? The first couple dancing are Dan and Nadia with their Viennese waltz.
Yes, to Always a Woman, one of the worst songs ever written.
One of Dan's favourite song of all time,
of
he said.
Of course it is. Of course it's one of Dan's favourite songs. Go on.
How is a man who's so much younger than the two of us really into music that only people much older than us would like?
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to invoke the C word, but is it the church thing?
I wonder.
Do they force them not to modernise beyond a point where it becomes disagreeable?
Those safe people like Billy Joel, who you sort of go, I mean, he's a bit like Bruce Springsteen.
Sometimes.
But he's Bruce Springsteen without the sort of like roughness and without the possible he did some crime in his youth, you know, hanging around fast cars.
He never pulled a knife on anyone. Yeah, it's Joel, no.
You know, yes, Cliff Richard and Daniel O'Donnell are the two obvious ones, but then you do have less obvious ones like, you know, your Laura Marlings and then your You're Billy Joel's. And to be really into Billy Joel.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit lost now.
Well, she stole my heart with her wonderful voice.
Oh, of course she did.
I do think she's great.
So do I.
She just has a ring of being a New Age Christian about her, which I don't think she is.
I don't think she is.
I think I might sort of get... I think she looks a little bit like Carey Mulligan. And Carey Mulligan is a odd Christian.
Oh, God, is she crikey on a bike. Okay, listen, back to Dan and Nadi. We haven't got all bloody day. But they got all sevens. I thought this was... So Nadia's costume was insane. I don't know what they were thinking. It was just mad.
Yeah.
Obviously, she makes anything look good, but I did think they dressed her like a mad person.
It sort of looked like a long fabric mollusk.
clinging to her front. Yeah. Nothing on the back. So Shirley said, and I think the most brutal use of this word I've ever seen, that she said, Dan, you are... consistent. And I'd never heard it sound quite that brutal and negative before, but it certainly was.
Yeah, it was a bold choice to have him up first, because he's done nothing previously that would sort of warrant opening the show.
Isn't it just like jury duty, like eventually if you stay long, if you get a turn? He kept saying how grateful he was to open the show, like, oh, you've trusted me with this amazing honour. It's like, I think it was just your turn.
Yeah, fine. And look, I found this dance for me was fine. It was pleasant, but I think watching it, you'd never ever mistake him for anything other than an amateur.
A dancing newsreader.
It's like watching a newsreader dance, not a dancer.
Which is fine. And it's really fun and entertaining. Mm. But, you know, he's in danger. I don't know. I mean, presumably people are voting for him. But he's now going to find himself, I think, after next week, one of the lowest scoring dancers. And he was only 1 point behind Adam and Katty this week, which is saying something. But I think the plateau was reached early, and he's just sort of, well, consistent. That's exactly it, isn't it? You don't want to be consistent in this show. You want to be on the ascendant, humbly, and with, like, you know, a lot of sort of humility.
But I think, you know, one of the problems I did have with this show was what you were seeing was nobody surprised you. So Dan Walker danced the dance that he danced last week. You know, there didn't seem to be any, as you say, progression. And I think a lot of this week's show for me was just going, oh, yes, they're good. Yeah, that was okay. You know, oh, they're okay. It was okay. You know, I felt that there was a little bit of plateauing.
I don't know. You see, I think I normally expect that for week five of Strictly. I normally expect not much to be going on.
Mm.
But I think they got the kind of plateau, the fairly near dances out of the way early. And then it was just like, Tom and Amy on, kind of a bit of a riot.
And
really.
it was a hard... first three dances where it just felt like everybody was, it just felt like there was feeling missing. It just felt it felt flat. And
I know what you mean. It started a bit flat and then it really picked up.
Oh, it really took off. It really took off. Anton said that Dan and Nadia's dance, he said it was almost perfect, and he said it in a way that made it clear he didn't remotely think it was almost perfect.
No,
it was
not at all.
It was one of those shows where the judges seemed guarded, everyone seemed a bit tense, and that wasn't a comforting Saturday night watch for
me. There was like a shitload of sevens, which I don't know, for some reason that number, when everyone's literally, they were all sevens for the first couple of dances, made me feel very uneasy. I thought nothing's going to happen at all. It's almost like you could not have this episode of Strictly and everything would have stayed the same, and it wouldn't have needed to have been put on at all.
You're completely right about that sense of we aren't progressing, that stasis, and just sort of going, this is just, it feels a little bit like, I don't know, like waiting for a plane, that you're just killing time until we get to Halloween, where at least everyone's dressed up as the dead.
I know. I kind of really wanted Halloween to be this week.
Yeah.
I felt just the sheer cruelty of it being on, is it next Saturday? Means it has to be next Saturday, but otherwise it would have been this week.
Yeah.
We would have had Halloween.
It definitely needed a lift. We then had little John Bishop pop in doing the terms and conditions.
I hated this. Just to take Mark's lines for him for a minute. Oh, my God. Could he have phoned it anymore? So he's on stage at some massive theatre gig.
Mm.
He turns his back on his audience. He just does completely straight-faced the terms and conditions with no kind of hint of a personality or any gags.
Mm.
And then turns around and pretends to finish a joke to which everyone laughs. I just wrote the word joyless down. It really bleaked me out. Maybe it was the general feeling of the episode to begin with.
I would have the thing, if I was a paying customer to watch John Bishop, and he sort of went, I'm going to do this little bit of extra work, and you need to all be quiet, and then you need to come in and applaud and everything. I'd be like, mate, I don't pay to like aid you in your job. That's not for me. I'd have been booing throughout that bit.
Yeah, no, me too.
I mean, it is funny when you are absolutely right that bleakness. I did find myself halfway through here thinking when it started, I was like, thank God someone's not just filming it in their upstairs toilet.
Yeah, high production value, sure.
And then I got halfway through and I was like, I'd sort of prefer to be in, like, you know, Joe Swash's loo. It seemed more...
And that's saying something.
And, it just seemed less sort of, I don't know, it just seemed less boringly slick.
It depressed me. It really depressed me.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Let's go to something far more, I was going to say, like, you know, heart-lifting, but it was a load of just more sevens. Adam Peaty and Katya doing their samba to George Michael's Faith.
Yes. Now, if anyone didn't think of Vic and Bob during this, I'd like to congratulate you.
I wrote Action Image Exchange right at the top of my notes. Dink, 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 ding, ding. An amazing cultural nod that nobody involved in the dance or in the room knew was happening.
Completely mad, but it was very funny.
Remarkable. His jeans were so tight, Julia, they cut off my circulation at home. Sometimes when he moved, you could see what he'd had for dinner in 1996. Far too tight.
Yeah, he was dressed evidently in a way that inflamed the judges. They all kind of got hormonal, kind of in a sort of a Mexican wave, didn't they? One after the other, twitching about. I don't like the word twitching.
No.
Considering, you know, sort of those people sitting behind their desks, you don't know what they're twitching, and it conjures unpleasant images. But yeah, so this was sevens across the board, apart from Shirley, who gave them an eight.
Yeah.
And they said, so I've tried and tried to watch a samba and enjoy it, and I've never enjoyed one, even the really good ones. I don't enjoy them. It always, to me, looks like they're going wrong, or they're missing beats or missing steps. So when they're jerking and hesitating and pausing and kind of... to me, I think, oh dear, oh, they've gone wrong.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to watch a samba and have a good time.
Yeah, and Shirley was saying, you know, Adam, you know, you're really on the beat. And I was watching it and I was thinking, he really didn't seem to be. He seemed to be all over the shop there. Yeah. There were loads of... It's like he just doesn't quite hear the music. And I'm not sure that was the dance. I think he's been a bit like that before, where you begin to go, you lack that ability to hear what's going on. You're concentrating probably too much on the moves.
Yeah, but they disagreed.
They did disagree. Weird.
Yeah, although Anton did kind of echo me in that he's, again, calling it a samba. He refuses. He will not hear the correct pronunciation. Yeah. The thing about a samba is I don't really understand it. I like his just bafflement with all of Latin, that the whole like lexicon of Latin dancing. He's just like, no. I don't like it. I like later on when he talked about the rumba. He did basically said, I don't don't like it when people bang their genitals together. Yes, and I won't be having any of that, thank you. I love his old-fashionedness.
He said the line which I love in his judging, which he just said, I think it turned out I rather liked it, which I love as a judge.
Groping for the words in a dark corridor as he finds them.
Yeah, I slightly like that. I saw going, I didn't really hate it, so I sort of began to enjoy it.
I think he surprised himself as he was saying it.
Yeah, but how dare Adam and Katya dance to the song Faith about being faithful when, after last week, when they nearly kissed.
Nearly kissed.
That the tabloids had an absolute field day
they
with
did.
This week.
We didn't even mention this last week.
I completely missed it. I think I just sort of thought, oh, this is part of the excellent dance routine they're doing.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, you know, what I didn't realise was it did seem like it nearly flipped over and they nearly had sex on BBC primetime TV. Just shame to have missed that.
Oh my goodness. I'll reiterate, a little bird once told me that if you think someone on Strictly is doing it with their professional partner, they definitely are.
Well, the other tabloids story that was up Strictly this week has been loads and loads of friends of AJ and Kai really think they're going to get together because they've got such great chemistry. And your little slogan popped straight into my head, and I was like, oh, the tabloids are trying to tell me stuff that has already happened.
Right, exactly.
But they cannot tell me without framing it in the way of going, wouldn't it be brilliant if...
I know, exactly. It's like, we spotted it, we were here first. We want the deal for the wedding pictures. Yeah, no, I can't imagine when you're generating that much heat between two people in a room just to get... Obviously, there's always cameras there. That it would take more than a day, probably, for them to start banging each other, if that chemistry exists. I imagine it just happens quite quickly.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if they want to do it, God bless them. I mean, they're not waiting for I'm not either of their fathers. I mean,
they very much are.
Do people even go to their fathers now and say, is it all right if I have sex with someone? I don't think they did.
Of course, no, always.
Very unhealthy. Dancers number three were Sarah and Aliash doing their rumba.
Rumba. Yeah, so she had a really good week last week. She got 4 9s. Not so this week.
No.
So again, I call this the dance of death. I think anyone who gets a rumba, especially around this time in the competition, unless they're absolutely amazing, they usually struggle, their score usually plummets. No different for Sarah. I think she acquitted herself pretty well. As Anton said, wasn't one of those nasty, sexy, you know, blatantly fucky rumbas. it was much more chaste and hand-holdy and sweet and romantic. And I think she acquitted herself really well. But Craig said it was polite and
conversational, he said.
Yeah, that's right. Lacked passion and gave her a 4.
Yeah.
Everyone else was 7.
He said it was a non-event. I mean, I think there is a slight sort of thing where Craig is giving them a low mark because he wants to do the old kick up the bum.
Yeah.
But maybe. I think he also did it safe in the knowledge that the audience would save Sarah and Aliash. I think, you know, they're a very popular couple.
I think they are too.
I think you can sort of afford to go, well, let's get the audience behind them even more by marking them really low.
You're possibly right. I mean, that would sort of work, although I don't know if Craig's thought processes ever kind of go quite that far. Sometimes it's just spite, darling.
Yeah.
She is kind of the embodiment of the Strictly viewer sat at home.
Yeah.
Who a hand comes out through the television, like in the Aha video.
Yeah.
And the impossibly beautiful Slovenian beckons you forth and whips you around the dance floor. She is that sort of dream living, you know, fantasy kind of figure. And I think a lot of women can project herself onto Sarah.
The additional fantasy, of course, is if that did happen, that you would work as hard as Sarah is working.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly is.
And that's the bit, I think it's more likely you would be dragged through the TV than once it had happened, you would work as hard as she does. I think she's just obviously, this is everything to her. It's the dream. And she's really sort of paying it the tribute by just the amount of work she's putting in.
She's kind of the perfect Strictly contestant if you want to really boil down the essence of why this show is good.
Yeah.
It's that person sitting on their sofa at home with a completely different life, being covered in glitter, and then trained to do amazing things with their body, and she really is. I mean, she's acquitting herself brilliantly.
Really is. They dance to it's the song I'd call Looks Like We Made It. I'm not sure if that's
still
what it's called.
Still the one. It's called
Still the One. Okay, yeah, got you.
Is it Shania Twain?
Yeah, I think so. That
I feel
that,
like it. I think even if it isn't, it probably is.
I think that's very much music in Sara's wheelhouse as well.
Yeah, I think so. She said she really liked that song.
Yeah, but I did like it when they were singing Looks Like We Made It, and it was under a light that looked like the Eye of Sauron. And I was thinking it would have been a very bold decision to end the Lord of the Rings trilogy with Shania Twain singing Looks Like We Made It. Which I'd like to thank Sara and Aliash for giving me that vision.
Nice. Mark, you're going to move on to the next couple and I need to say something.
No, I'm not. I'm going to quickly get into the little link in between. Don't you worry.
Oh, damn it. Okay, well, I'll hand the mic to you because I think you'll probably have a...
What was the lead-in line? Because I was laughing so hard at the end bit, I'd sort of forgotten what the lead-in line was.
I think they were talking about, you know, coming up, it's Tilly and Nikita's Foxtrot. Mm. And it was something to do with they were going to dance with emojis or something.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then Claudia started listing emojis.
Yeah, ending with aubergine, little wink, Tess. And Tess laughed. She went, ah! She thought in the silence, she went, winky face! She winked. There was silence in the studio.
There was a lot of tumbleweed.
And it continued. If I was to put together the most humiliating moments of my life, none of them come close to isolating the bit of Tess thinking and then shouting winky face.
Are you saying that was like an all-out ad lib and
oh yeah,
one wrote that for her.
That is Tess's thing, isn't it, where a joke is told and Tess will go, what is the first thing that comes into my head that I can jump onto the joke?
It's the people who explain jokes to you after you've made a joke on Twitter. She's that guy.
I know a not well, but a guy who's a comedy writer, and I've seen him on a few occasions, and we've been down the pub and in big groups, and it's been a right laugh. And I noticed really early on that someone would say, you know, a punchline to a story, and it would get a big laugh from everybody, and he would suddenly dart in and add something that wasn't funny, but he'd then laugh harder and he'd ride the other guy's laughs.
Oh, that's awful.
So the guy would you know, it would end in the John Bishop way of going, you know, and then the vicar fell over the gate, everyone would laugh, and the guy would go, Kate made of wood. Oh, no. And he'd sort of go, this is my laugh now. I have taken this.
Yes,
and
it's like stealing, that wholesale thievery of someone else.
Just jumping on like a little parasite. Mm-hmm. And Tess is the Strictly Come Dancing joke tick, where she will, anything that's said, she will just go, this is the space where the laughter would be if people were laughing at it. I will jump in and say something related, and that in itself will seem funny enough.
Look, just for balance, I'd like to jump here and say that, you know, she does a good job. This is live television, and sometimes, yes, she jumps and she doesn't land.
Yes.
She jumps and she misses the other side of the ravine and she plummets. But, you know,
yeah.
I don't think it's quite the same thing. I think she often comes off worse because of it. But,
yeah.
You know. She doesn't learn, does she?
What people listening to this won't realise is that I can see, with the camera, I can see, and you've just done a winky face.
What of it?
Dance number four. We had Tom and Amy coming out for their salsa.
I thought it was a samba. Was it a salsa?
I can't keep up. Oh, it could have been either. Who knows?
Honestly, I've written salsa. Well, I had a whiskey by this point. I might have just written the wrong thing down. No, you're probably right.
They did it to Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar.
They did.
I do like that song. I think it's a really... when it comes on, I kind of go, oh, this is much better than it had any right to be.
My kid left the room saying, I won't watch this one. I won't watch it. I hate this song. So, yeah, that was that put me... probably put me on the back foot from the off, I think, really.
Well, if you didn't like the song, you had to like Tom Fletcher sort of dressed as a horrible, weaselly little 1983 Miami Coke dealer. I liked that look. And Amy looked like a showgirl. Who invariably two nights after her body would be washed up off a yacht.
Oh my God.
It was within the first 10 seconds, the best dance of the night.
It was great. It wasn't the best dance of the night. I disagree, but it was very good.
Oh, no,
surprising.
I meant up to this point.
Oh, I see. Oh, no, God. I mean, it gets better. It lifted things by several feet. Yeah, it was very, very good. And he did his first lifts, and they were great. And
they weren't they?
Really hard lifts as well.
Really were.
At great speed. And he made it look very cool and casual, as Motsy said. No, I thought he was tremendous.
It really drove home as well that, you know, this was the first dance which felt like it had proper energy in it. Everyone else felt a little bit like, you know, well, we're drifting through it. And this was the first one that was full of attack, and it was just punchy, and it was fast, and just dynamic and great.
It was violent at times, as Anton pointed out. I think at one point Amy chinned him with her knee.
Yeah.
Which was great. I wish I'd seen that. I should have wound it back and watched it.
Yeah.
I like it when they hit each other.
it's fun when it's an explosion and you just go, we are going all out here.
It was unexpected, wasn't it? It was just really lovely to see him burst into life. I was sort of saying last night to my partner, he's very kind of really likable, but very sort of polite and...
Yeah.
And I wasn't what I was expecting was kind of like a prefect having a polite bogle with matron before bed.
Yes.
And what we got was like, you know, completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, his body shape slightly informs how you view him, which is, you're absolutely right. He does seem like a sixth former.
Yeah, he's very slim and slight and very youthful looking, and
you don't
expect that energy to burst from him.
Yes, like I've had a very nice night dancing, thank you, Mrs. Rayside. you know, but he's not like that at all. He's just, you know, this dance, finally, you sort of feel, okay, maybe we're unlocking something here.
I think he loosened up a bit. I think he's definitely thrown his hat in the ring for a higher placing now, maybe even in the final, because he's very likable. I think the audiences do connect with him. Obviously, there's lots of McFly fans. Yeah, I think suddenly he burst out of his rather polite cocoon last night.
Big success. I mean, I did feel like there was barely any either salsa or samba, whichever one it was. I felt there was almost no salsa in it. I couldn't recognise it.
Who cares? The lifts were
exactly
amazing.
That. There is something slightly about you can make your own mind up. If they give you a hard dance, you can just go, do you know what? If it's a salsa or a South American dance, just dress a bit like you're from Florida and then do any dance you want, but do it really well. And if you do it really well, they'll just go, yeah, fine.
Also, just do it really fast as well. If you keep the speed up, they pretty much can't see what you're doing anyway.
So exciting. Dance number five. We had Tilly and Nikita doing their foxtrot. What a boring song. What a boring dance.
One Direction. Just, you know what? It's her face. It's her flipping face. So I mean, obviously we have to talk about the VT beforehand. So they drew the short straw this week and had to go and do a location shoot for their VT rather than just practicing their dancing. And it was that kind of fallacy that, like, apparently she's at university and she is actually, and she had her first exam this week, she got 85%, well done. But that because they're training so hard, they really need to take some time off. Like, when would they have time?
I know, this is madness.
So they went bowling with her blonde posh friends in a way that I think was supposed to show you know that she was a real person. But there's something I can't get past. There's like an impenetrable shield around her or something. So when her body is doing really quite brilliant and skillful things, her face is still just absolutely uninvolved in the process. And I just cannot connect with her.
I slightly wonder if it is just nerves, and it is just you know, she can't hide that. There's a sort of gaucheness. I think Motsy mentioned, you know, something about you dancing always touches my heart, so innocent. And I think it's not so much the dancing, which seems perfectly serviceable.
It's good,
It's more the sort of sense that she is looking like she's a startled sort of woodland creature.
But why haven't they said what they'd say to any other celebrity at this stage of the game?
Which is, you've got to believe in yourself.
Get some acting training, believe in yourself, and go and, I don't know, take half a rap of speed and dance your tits off in a club. Do something to loosen up, because then she got nines across the board. There was a great dancer in there. But like, why aren't they telling her to get the performance aspect of it right? And maybe they're giving her dances that, you know, a beatific smile kind of covers all, and you don't really need to act. But she does need to start animating herself, I think.
Yeah, and this for me was the epitome of everything that I can't stand in Strictly Come Dancing.
Ouch.
Just it's a dance for the nanas, you know.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Look at our little Snowdrop, You know, isn't she a big girl now? You know, it's absolutely, let me make it clear, not her fault.
No,
but
God,
just
no.
The style of this, the way it's delivered and the way everyone has to rhapsodize over it, just sort of going, one day, maybe you'll get to do a special dance like that at your wedding to a prince from Europe. It's all cloying and gross and weird, and it makes me want to take up bare knuckle boxing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I can't quite agree. I mean, yes, basically, in terms of the emotional impact she has, it's pretty much zero. Mm. And I'm not sure people are voting for her even.
Mm.
But I think those high scores, I mean, the judges just love her.
I mean, 4 9s for 36.
It seems incredible.
Two more marks than, you know, Tom and Amy's, you know, Cokeathon that we enjoyed before.
Yeah.
That was just thrilling. It was it felt to me a little bit like if they were films, you had the exciting drugs film that was full of thrilling action and exploding yachts beforehand, and then you went straight to a period piece about Anastasia, you know, the littlest princess of Liechtenstein, and a search for an eligible man from Hungary. I just dire.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
And the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.